This is Akashvani. In the weekly program Current Affairs, under the series Viksit Bharat Ki Taraf Badhte Kadam, now we bring you a discussion on government's steps in the health sector. The participants are Dr. V.K. Paul, Member Health, Niti Aayog, and Indrani Kaushal, Senior Economic Advisor, Ministry of Health and Family Welfare. The moderator is Aditi Tandon, Senior Journalist.
Health Minister J.P. Nadda today addressed a very important briefing where he gave a complete detailed account of the achievements under the Ministry of Health for the first 100 days of Prime Minister Modi-led BJP dispensation. So there is a multifarious, sector development. There's not just one thing that we can talk about, but the broad points that the minister mentioned, of course, the extension of the Pradhan Mantri Jan Arogya Yojana to include all senior citizens above the age of 70. That is a very important takeaway of the first 100 days. Then, of course, a very important announcement which Prime Minister Narendra Modi made in his Independence Day speech when he said that we will continue with the momentum to increase the number of MBBS seats, and 75,000 new seats are to be added in the next 5 years. Then also the minister today spoke of the UVIN portal, which will, take the entire vaccination process online and which will in real time help us assess where does our entire vaccination, universal vaccination program stay and how can we fill the gaps in that program. Apart from that, there's a big push on the entire medical education sector, with continuous increase in not just undergraduate seats, but also the postgraduate seats, and also the focus on preventing, helping Indian students study at home and not go to countries like, for instance, Russia, Ukraine, where we all saw how they were trapped during the conflict. And of course, Prime Minister Modi's intervention made them come back safely. So this is the broad plan that the minister laid out. Ms. Indrani, what do you think of the biggest outcomes of the first 100 days? Of course, health is an ongoing process and it's a 10-year continuum that we have to largely discuss. But in your opinion, what are the biggest achievements made in the first 100 days?
While Honorable Health and Family Welfare Minister Shri J.P. Nadda ji laid out a number of achievements during the very first 100 days of this government, which of course is led by, under the visionary leadership of Honorable Prime Minister Modi, what in my mind comes as the most notable ones would be the expansion of the PMJ Ayushman Bharat Jan Arogya Yojana to cover senior citizens above 70 years plus, the full digitization of the UVIN portal. This will also cater to 2.9 crore mothers as well as 2.4 crore birth cohort every year. This is followed by the technological outreach through drone services as well as the Bhishma Cube under Arogya Maitri programs. We also see rapid strides made in terms of the medical education, which you already mentioned, in terms of adding doctors and specialists to overall make health services accessible, followed by our Ayushman Arogya Mandis, which are the first port of call. So the virtual national quality assurance standards, this will really help us maintain quality and also they'll help us in the delivery of the 12 comprehensive primary health care packages.
Right. Thank you so much for summarizing the entire outcome of the first 100 days for us. Dr. Paul, you are somebody who has steered health policy throughout the COVID period. You've seen the worst times, you've seen the recovery, and now we are in better times. I want to understand from you, how will PMJAY expansion to cover senior citizens help us? I also want you to answer that when we look at the original plan of PMJAY, it was to cover, around 60 crore people. And right now we have reached the target of issuing around 35 crore Ayushman Bharat cards. What is the gain and what is the challenge?
Well, the Ayushman Bharat Pradhan Mantri Jan Arogya Yojana is a game changer for healthcare of people of India and for the health system per se, because it brings in synergy between the public health sector and the private health system. It's a reform of a very profound importance. By bringing in senior citizens of 70 years and above into the fold, we are serving a very major societal cause above all. Firstly, the notable point is that every senior citizen 70 and above irrespective of socio-economic status, irrespective of any other label, BPL, NFSA, beneficiary. No, everybody. Every senior citizen 70 and above is now included. The reason behind this is multifold. Firstly, this is the age group where, for obvious reasons, the health needs are huge. Almost, 75% individuals have more than one comorbidity, two morbidities or more. This is also the age when your own financial resources are relatively modest for most families. This is also the age when there are more women than men. That's the way feminization happens predominantly. But let me also add, this is the age where a lot of women are widows. Between the age of 70 to 79, 68% of women are actually widows. So there is a gender dimension to this, which has more vulnerability. We also know that for practical reasons, for genuine reasons, and sometimes not so genuine reasons, the families, even when they mean the very best, are unable to optimally look after the needs of the elderly, and particularly where healthcare is involved, where the expenses are involved. So all this is the thinking behind helping this group universally in the country. So what would happen is the following. Already PMJ, as you said, covers 12 crore families. Currently, it covers 12 crore families. They also have elderly. Now, there will be an additional package available for the elderly in the family where there are elderly 70 and above of 5 lakh rupees per annum. This need not be now shared with the rest of the family. So if there is one senior citizen or two, that existing PMJ beneficiary family now has an additional cover for the elderly. The families which are today not covered, for those families having senior citizen, would also be now eligible for 5 lakh expense at public and private sector empaneled hospital of PMJ. It's a huge way forward, and it's a scheme and it's an initiative which is, the profound sense of Lok Kalyan and for helping the most vulnerable.
Just a quick supplementary, Dr. Paul, how do the urban senior citizens get associated with this scheme? Because so far we have only seen PMJAY cover the families that were pointed out by the socioeconomic caste census.
But socioeconomic caste census also included the urban dimension. And when there were some practical difficulties with regard to SCCC database, the government took a decision that within the envelope of 12 crore and earlier 10.73 crore families, other databases can be used to identify those who are in need. So urban is already covered in principle. Those who are eligible and those who are not in the net, it's our duty to get them into the fold. For that, the efforts are really on. So it applies to urban elderly, it applies to rural elderly. And only one exception is those who are receiving benefit as government scheme already, like CGHS or Armed Forces Scheme, ECHS, or state system. Through state system, the health is being taken care of. They will have a choice to continue in that system or to switch over to this. But those who are ESI beneficiaries, and even those who have bought private insurance, are also eligible for this very overarching feel-good scheme for the very special citizens of our nation.
Thanks for that comprehensive lowdown, Dr. Paul. Indrani ji, I will bring you in again here today about the UN portal, because it appears to be a very, very ambitious plan. And of course, we all know that right now it is in the pilot stages. What I want you to explain to our listeners is, the health minister today said that the citizen-centric services of the digital platform called UWIN portal would include anytime access and anywhere vaccination services, self-registration by citizens using UWIN web portal or the UWIN citizen mobile application, automated SMS alerts, etc. will be available under this particular portal. What does this all mean for a layman who doesn't know, perhaps, this big digital jargon? What does it mean for people living next door?
The traditional vaccination we used to see in the form of a physical card. Now, digitization will actually, enable the entire cohort of the mother right from the first trimester and children, newborns up till the age of 17, to get all the sets of vaccination doses totally through this digitized portal. And there, the anytime access and the anywhere, you know, it doesn't matter if they're traveling or if they're in another state, they can get their vaccination doses. So the trials, already pilots we have run, and a total of 6.46 crore beneficiaries have been registered. 1.04 crore vaccination sessions have already been held, and 23 crore administered vaccine doses have been recorded on the UWIN portal. So we will also be able to generate through QR code vaccination certificates. So you will no longer have to carry around the physical card. And these vaccines, 11 vaccines, are supposed to target 12 diseases.
So suppose a mother is traveling to another city and she has been following up the vaccination schedule in another city. How does she go about it? You say anywhere access. Suppose the schedule for vaccination is due. What does she do? Where does she go for the vaccination of the child?
Beneficiaries can visit an ongoing vaccination session and also get registered on the spot by the vaccinator. Alternately, they can take help from families and friends for online registration. Asha Didi and ANM can also help in the offline registration of the vaccination.
I'll come to you, Dr. Paul, and let us discuss the very important sector of expansion of medical education. We have seen over the past 10 years that MBBS seats have increased from 51,348 in 2013 to 1,15,812 now. And there's a promise to add 75,000 more seats in the next 5 years. How does all this boil down, Dr. Paul? It looks very ambitious.
So let's start with the commitment that has been made by this government to increase seats in medical education to the tune of 75,000 in the current political cycle of the Honorable Prime Minister. 75,000 seats. 25,000 seats roughly will be increased for the undergraduate or MBBS program, because there we already have large number. I'm coming to that. So 25,000 more seats will be added. And there's been a huge progress of 125% that you already referred to. Postgraduate seats will be increased to the tune of 50,000. So PG 50,000, UG 25,000. That's the commitment. Now what we wish to inform today is the progress that has been achieved in the 100 days as a report card. So let me start with medical colleges. We had 706 medical colleges till recently. Now, over 100 days, first phase of our government, we have added 60 medical colleges. So this year, 60 medical colleges are coming on board. UG seats, this year, 6,876. Roughly 6,900 seats have been added, and our number has now moved from 1,11,000 to about 1,16,000. So today, this year onwards, the nation has 1,16,000 undergraduate seats, and this gives opportunities to our young people, youth. PG seats, this year we see an increase of 4,100 roughly. And with this, the PG seats have jumped to 73,000. This shows the clear resolve that the expansion of medical education programs to meet the human resource needs in health for our nation continues to be a clear priority, and the pathways have been opened for this. It also means giving opportunities to the youth and giving bright children to take up medical profession in India and make use of the opportunity that are being created. I want to emphasize that we have crossed the so-called WHO norm of one doctor per 1,000 some time back already. We are above this now. And if we add our very capable Ayush doctors, we already are 1.4. But then that's not our aspiration. Our aspiration is the same as those of the developed nations, because we are aiming to move in that direction, where 2 per 1,000 and even 3 per 1,000 is the norm. So we still have a long way to cover, significant way to cover. We have covered a huge way so far. This acceleration will be maintained, and this progress in the last 100 days that I am reporting is reassuring. It is compatible with the bigger mission that we have set for us. Also, the National Medical Register has been introduced, which will bring in counting and data about the medical professionals in the country. It will help us align this with the Ayushman Bharat digital mission and also bring in accountability of the profession. And we'll keep a clear eye on how different specialties are moving in terms of their footprint in the country. So there are significant developments in this regard that we are happy to report.
Right. So that's a very big and happy news for a lot of aspiring MBBS students. Now about the TB treatment, Indrani ji. We are committed to eliminating TB 5 years ahead of the global target. And we have said that we will eliminate by 2025. Towards that end, a lot of efforts have been made. And of late, we have also seen that we have now a new regimen, which reduces the treatment cycle from the 9 to 12 months earlier to 6 months now. Can you explain for our listeners, what does this mean for drug-resistant patients and how is it going to help?
So as we understand that multi-drug resistance is a common pattern which is found in TB patients, and therefore sometimes because there is a huge number of pills to be taken which leads to interruption and following the protocols, therefore Ministry of Health and Family Welfare has brought out the new BPALM. This is a new treatment regimen for drug-resistant TB patients. And we've got 4 individual drugs in combination, which in fact will reduce the treatment duration from the conventional regimen of 20 months. It used to be 20 months, I would like to point out. And the current shorter regime was 9 to 12 months. That all will be brought down to 6 months. In fact, this has been validated by the ICMR in terms of the health technology assessment. And we expect that there'll be reduction in the duration, a reduction in 75,000 drug-resistant treatment cases. So a lesser number of pills means improved compliance of the treatment, and that would aim to help us in achieving our elimination program of TB.
Dr. Paul, in the first 100 days, we have seen a lot of action on the front of regulation, especially drug regulation. The Apex Drug Regulator recently came out with a very important new notification, which says that major drugs, especially life-saving drugs that have received approvals from the drug regulators of 5 countries, including the US, UK, and you can add the other 2, will not require to go through the phase 3 clinical trials in India, which used to take a lot of time. In fact, I believe more than 100 days, if I'm correct. So that means that easy access to a lot of important drugs, which were earlier not available domestically, for local patients. What does this really mean?
Well, this is a very practical change that has been brought about. For good reasons, there is a current regulation which says that when we bring in a new drug into India, it should be subject to trial on Indian subjects because of ensuring that it would work in a population with our own characteristic. But over a period of time, we have realized that this need not be done every time. This need not be done when there is data and approval from very robust regulators outside. So it shows our confidence that we can pick up directly those products under special circumstances, as you mentioned in particular, for the products that have been approved by the regulators in USA, UK, Japan, Australia, Canada, and European Union. We believe once, based on data, the approvals have come through these high reputation regulators, we believe that drug is good to use in India. This will cut down the time that is required for introducing new drugs from outside into India. That means the drugs will become available, medicines will become available more readily to the Indian population. But this is not the only regulatory reform. There are 2 others that I like to mention. 156 fixed drug combinations have been banned. Now, this was needed. Some companies bring out more than one drug in the same pill or capsule or a syrup, which is at times rational, but at times it is irrational. And it should not be done for multiple reasons. And these were going around with permissions that have been taken by perhaps these state regulators and so on or otherwise. In one stroke, 156 of them, carefully identified fixed drug combinations, have been now banned. Now, this means we are removing those medicines which are not proper, not rational, and potentially harmful, and are not conforming to the standards that all of us as citizens. There's also another reform, which is by the foods regulator, Food Safety and Standards Authority of India, FSSAI. The food business operators have to take a license. Earlier, this license would take 60 days. More recently, it was 30 days. But now, it's made tatkal. That if you load the data, information is rightfully placed in the system and it is compatible with the expectations and the standards and the norms, the license is issued tatkal. So there is ease of business here, and there is again ease of access to new medicines, the first reform. And the second reform is about ensuring that the drugs that are marketed in the country are rational and they are appropriate and they conform to standards.
Just two quick supplementaries, because these are two very important regulations, Dr. Paul. What do you have to say to patients? Because suddenly when you wave off phase 3 clinical trials, there are, you know, a lot of people who would express concern, which is natural. What do you say to patients in that context? And secondly, how does a lay patient know what fixed dose combination has been banned? I mean, how do you weed out those existing in the market?
So let me respond to the second one. The fixed dose combinations that are in the market from now onwards are safe.
Okay.
The ones that were bad through a process have been identified and have been taken away. However, your doctor is always there to guide you further, because at times, even from a physician, when these rational fixed dose combinations are available, at times it is a good idea to use two drugs separately. But that's the guidance that the doctor has to give you. On the issue of clinical trials, please appreciate the fact that the clinical trials are not waived. Clinical trials are the basis on which these regulators from other countries would give the approval for marketing, right? So they're already done. What has now been done is that the necessity for a bridge trial, okay, on a modest number of individuals is now no more deemed to be necessary for those products, those conditions for which this rule has been opened up. I like to emphasize here that this rule was also invoked. This provision was also invoked in the course of COVID-19 pandemic, where we said if the vaccines are approved by any of these, the four of those at the time, by other regulators, we will accept it. And of course, if the WHO has approved. So those vaccines could be potentially made available in the country. It's a different story that we didn't need it, and we had made in India vaccines that served the purpose and more.
Right. Thank you. So patients need not worry on that count, as Dr. Paul explains. Now coming to the Bhishma cubes, you know, it made news very recently when Prime Minister Modi gifted a set to Ukraine during his visit to Kyiv. So now a Bharat Health Initiative for Sahyog, Hit and Maitri is the full form of Bhishma. What are these cubes, Indraniji, and how soon can they be deployed?
The Bhishma cubes are basically, you know, portable and readily deployable modular facilities. So each cube consists of as many items as 336, and they can cater to all kinds of injuries, and they can treat up to 200 casualties at any particular instance. So these Bhishma cubes include surgical equipment for minor ICU, any operation theater, for they give you blood testing facilities as well as X-ray machines. They also have their own generation, their power bank and oxygen in limited amounts. In the first phase, we have planned for deploying Bhishma cubes in 25 All India Institute of Medical Sciences and INIs in case of disaster, to attend to disaster and health emergencies. States would also be brought in to deploy at strategic locations subsequently. As you mentioned, Honorable Prime Minister did present 4 cubes to the government of Ukraine on 23rd August.
Right. Dr. Paul, do we have any further requests from any countries for Bhishma cubes?
India has offered this to other nations. India has kept resources ready should the need arise in other countries. And this will be an offering for, say, God forbid, if there is a disaster situation in any other country. It's a start of this technology deployment. Its use also would be possible for our own conditions, our own usage within the country. So something fascinating as an innovation. It's a very compact, workable system. It works with the precision of the army. And it has systems which use very, very robust principles. It also involves the very simplified training of those who will use, very efficient utilization and actual treatments being made available on the ground once the cube lands in a location.
So God forbid any disaster strikes, how quickly can we move these cubes from Ames to the site of disaster?
As much time as it would take for a helicopter to go from there to the other location, because it can be also dropped.
Okay, wonderful. Yep. Okay. So Dr. Paul, I want to now, since we are closing the program almost, I want you to also detail for us the vision for the future. We've discussed the first 100 days, but obviously there's a larger thought behind the health sector planning.
The last 10 years have been a period of very major transformations in the health sector. Some have been referred to as we have been discussing. Going forward, I'll encourage us to look at the manifesto of the ruling party, and we can draw some lessons as to the direction where it would move. You may notice that there is a clear commitment to energize the primary health care of the country. Highest priority, because the nation is today building primary health care system, rebuilding, energizing, relatively modestly performing primary health care system to a comprehensive primary health system through Ayushman Arogya Mandirs and placing 12 packages, making drugs available, increasing footfall, looking after health at the population level, including prevention, is something which you would like to keep a watch as the progress happens. That's the highest level of commitment. There is also a commitment on accelerating efforts for eliminating a multitude of diseases. And actually, within these 5 years, we have a real chance and a real possibility that these illnesses can be eliminated. You talked about TB, leprosy, lymphatic filariasis, measles and rubella. We are quite close to it. Kalazar and trachoma only need certification for some. So there is a clear possibility of, you know, 7 to 8 diseases being certified as eliminated in this period. We're very close to a very major effort on controlling and trying to eliminate the malaria, for which the deadline is a little bit beyond 2019. So lymphatic filariasis, TB, leprosy, measles, rubella, trachoma, and I've also mentioned Kalazar. So this set of, and we'll accelerate on them and also focus on sickle cell disease effort. Diseases which have no business to be on Indian soil.
Right.
Neglected diseases, diseases of the poor would be one focus. And another example, mental health is on the spotlight. National Emergency and Trauma Mission is on spotlight. Anemia efforts, particularly for women and children, is on spotlight. So I think our work is cut out, strengthening and improving the capabilities of the district level system. Public sector strengthening is on very much the focus. So please watch the space. The teams are committed, are energized, and we are looking forward to delivering very, very high quality health system to our people.
Right. Thank you so much for joining us.
You are listening to a discussion on government's steps in the health sector. The participants were Dr. V.K. Paul, Member Health, Niti Aayog, and Indrani Kaushal, Senior Economic Advisor, Ministry of Health and Family Welfare. The moderator was Aditi Tandon, Senior Journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnstalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.